I'll be sharing some work that I and my colleagues have done using the chronic care model. Hopefully some of you are familiar with that, and we've applied it actually to the prevention of health risk behaviors. So just as background, smoking, risky drinking, physical inactivity, and unhealthy diet are known risk factors for many chronic conditions. And while primary care practices are good and strategic places to address these patient behaviors, unfortunately, these opportunities are often missed. The chronic care model was actually developed to improve the management of chronic disease, but it's also been proposed as a template for prevention because of their many similarities. For example, both are best handled using a more proactive approach to care rather than just merely responding to illness and health episodes. Both chronic and preventive care are most effective when delivered in a systematic way. Yeah, we got it. Thank you. And also, practice changes may have more impact if used for both purposes. For these reasons, we wanted to explore the idea of using the chronic care model as a template or framework for preventing health risk behaviors. So this study used cross-sectional data from primary care practices involved in round one of an initiative called Prescription for Health. We used two survey instruments. The first was a practice information form, or PIF, which gathered data on general practice characteristics. A practice staff questionnaire, PSQ, was used to assess clinical activity, and it was distributed to all practice staff members. So we had a PIF response rate of 84%, and this study was based on a total of 52 practices with PSQ response rates of at least 50% from their practice staff members. We used multivariate regression analyses to examine relationships between various CCM indicators, which I'll go through in depth very soon, and five dependent variables, including practices, reported use of health risk assessment, referral to community-based programs, individual counseling, and group counseling conducted in the practice. Each service was assessed for all four of the risk behaviors, smoking, drinking, physical inactivity, diet, which were then averaged to create a mean composite score and then validated by factor analysis. A fifth dependent variable was individual counseling for diet alone. Okay, so for the first CCM element, we assessed the health system organization of care element using practice ownership and a practice culture of quality improvement. And I will talk about this more later, too. But in the interest of time, I'll move on. For the self-management support CCM element, we used patient reminder cards as an indicator. The delivery system design element included whether it was a multi or single specialty practice, and also the number of dietitians on staff. Decision support was represented by how often the practices used various tools and processes, as you can read here. Clinical information systems included patient registries and use of EMR. We also controlled for practice size. So here are frequencies with which practices reported each service. And let me just point out, because it's kind of a busy slide, on a five-point Likert scale ranging from zero, never, to four, always, practices reported average health risk assessment and referral to community programs. So mean scores of about two, as you can see. They were less likely to offer individual counseling, and they really rarely conducted group counseling. I'm going to go over these quickly because I want to get to the regression results. The most common ownership type was a hospital health system. A group-oriented practice culture was the most common, and on average, patient reminder cards were used about half the time. The majority of practices had a single versus multi-specialty physician staff, and practices reported low to average use of decision support and clinical information systems. Okay, so for all regression models that we fit, the chronic care model, the CCM explains 22 to 41% of the variance in service delivery. We found that practices owned by a hospital health system were more likely to conduct health risk assessment, as were practices with a culture supportive of quality improvement. And in fact, practices with a QI-friendly culture were more likely to offer all of the services across the board, not just HRA, but also referral and counseling. Patient reminder cards negatively associated with HRAs and counseling. Practices with a multi-specialty staff were more likely to conduct HRAs, and those that hired dietitians reported more individual counseling for diet, so that was good to see. That would make sense. Decision support tools were all positively related to various interventions, as you can see there. Patient registries were negatively associated with counseling, and last, practices that had an EMR were more likely to provide counseling as well as refer patients to community programs. So in summary, we found that preventive services to address health risk behaviors were infrequently offered in practices. Also, there was really not a great deal of CCM implementation at the time of this study, anyway. Of the CCM elements that we were able to measure, interestingly, the health system and organization component stood out as being the most significant. Practices that valued and had cultures of quality improvement were consistently more likely to offer a wider range of behavioral services. In general, we did find support for the chronic care model as a framework for prevention, but to do this successfully, model components really need to be tailored not only to the clinical aspects of chronic disease, but also risk behaviors from a more prevention-oriented standpoint. And that's it. Thank you.